Here are four principles for living like an American. Protect freedom. Take responsibility at all times. Express gratitude for every gift and opportunity. Become a source of love. Once again, these are the times that try our souls. We must find the strength and the courage to rise up to refound America in the spirit of liberty. Hello, my wonderful, wonderful audience. I'm sort of happy today, especially because I'm doing something I don't often do. I'm just going to do the whole hour myself. And the other thing that's exciting to me about today is I'm going to talk to you about some positive new projects that Ginger and I are developing, and maybe you'll be interested in them too. Maybe you can find some way to contribute. This is Dr. Peter Breggin, of course, and this is Refounding America and Reclaiming Ourselves on Brighteon TV. You can see the archives on our site at brighteon.com. It's on Roku. It's real TV. And it's on PRN.live, a top 1% of radio internet shows for years now. Well, hi, folks. I'm so glad to be talking today. Like I said in the introduction, I don't know exactly how I'm going to take what comes. It just occurred to me that I'd like to tell you about another platform I'm on, which is a really wonderful platform. It's called America Out Loud, run by a wonderful man named Malcolm. And I'm on the platform, and Peter McCullough's, my dear friend's on the platform. Another dear friend is on it as well, Leave Leet. Those are two of the people who wrote the introductions to our book, COVID-19 and the Global Predators, We Are the Prey. And we do a show right now. It's me and Ginger together doing a radio show on America Out Loud. It's live at 5 p.m. On every Thursday. We've got a show that's coming up that's going to be really interesting about what's going on with the World Health Organization by a man I think is the real expert on it. And we also do our columns there. I'm actually doing a regular column. Either Ginger does it or I do it, and we help each other do it. So that's a really good place to keep track of us, and also to just read one great column after another. There's no TV there, just columns and radio. But if you want really quality columns, where you don't have to kind of pick through a lot of things, go to America Out Loud. It's just a really great place to be. Now, Ginger and I, we've been doing a lot of hard work, and it's been kind of stressful out there. There's been some conflicts going on. And in the middle of it all, we've been thinking about some interesting things that we might do. Now, one of them is just in the beginnings, and it's actually not written down anywhere. And that's partly purposeful. We haven't decided how to write it down or if it ever should be. But we would like to encourage people around the country, and it definitely could be around the world, to start doing peaceful assemblies for freedom. Peaceful assemblies for freedom. The Bill of Rights says is right to peaceful assembly. And what has happened to us in America and probably around the world, but I think maybe more in America, is that the brutality of January 6th, this violent third world-like administration we have, it still has people locked up from a year ago, January. who still have been fully apprised of why they're locked up, and some are being held on suspicion of insurrection all this time. Judges are letting the FBI just get away with torture and involuntary confinement without due rights, without access to a speedy trial. So January 6th has really scared people. And as a result, those of us who believe in freedom, we have not been going out on the streets. I don't think we should let that happen to us. I think that all around the country, people should start holding peaceful assemblies for freedom. The advantage of having one name is to sort of connect them. Peaceful assemblies for freedom, a more peaceful tone than some of the other things we could be doing. It's even more peaceful than the Tea Party platforms. So, because we're not throwing anything in the water, we're not wasting anything, we're not really being obstructive. And the whole idea behind the assemblies is, you know, I would suggest that they're even more peaceful than two of my great, great heroes, you know, particularly Gandhi, but also King, Martin Luther King, that we're not even going to obstruct purposely spaces, like Gandhi, we're not going to walk up to somebody who's blocking our way and get hit on the head and get hit on the head, you know, that amazing scene in the movie Gandhi. I'm just saying, just peaceful assembly. And start it in your own community. Don't look to me. Don't look to anybody in D.C. It doesn't have to be in D.C. It could be in your little town. It could be in your little city. It could be in your big city. I wouldn't hide anything. I'd do it all above board, do it by email or whatever way you communicate, you know, by whatever method you feel safe communicating. Right out in the open, nothing to hide, and absolutely no violence. If other people, they send people to get violent, don't get caught up in them. Just run away from them, go put yourself somewhere else. This is not a peaceful opposition, just peaceful assembly. And enjoy meeting other people. Make clear we're not afraid to go out in the open air. We're not afraid of what they're going to do to us, because if they do more January 6th, we should give them the idea they're going to have tens of millions of people peacefully assembling. And eventually, maybe the whole country will peacefully assemble and let the government change or whatever happens to governments when nobody wants to listen to them. But no violence at all, but assemble. And not looking to anybody else. The only reason to keep a single title, you know, the Peaceful Assemblies for Freedom, would be to have that connecting us all. But we don't even have to have that. You can make up your own names for the assembly. I like peaceful assembly because it is from the Bill of Rights. We specifically allowed that peaceful assembly. So big poster, Peaceful Assemblies for Freedom. If you could do that, if we could start doing that and or organizing it on your home level, participating in it, we might be able to make a considerable change in what is happening in the world today. Now, again, there's nothing on my website about it. We might put something up on it. But we do have something else that we thought of at the same time. This is Ginger's idea. The Peaceful Assemblies was mine. And Ginger came up with a more exciting idea that goes with it. And that she calls Freedom Flyers. Now, this is our first Freedom Flyer. I've not been able to give one to the TV, and it's not necessary. It's kind of made to read, you know, in your hand. They're all going to be one page, and this is the first one. You can find a wonderful article, column on America Out Loud by Ginger about the intentions behind this, and you can go to our website, bregan.com, and go to the very top, and you'll see one of the banners at the very top. is for Freedom Flyers, and you can, oh my gosh, thank you so much. We didn't prepare anybody for this. I wasn't sure what I was doing today. And there you are, Freedom Flyers. Spread the word by hand. And yeah, two other top things. One here is Biden handing over sovereignty to who? That's really increasing now, and you might want to see our radio, my radio show. Ginger didn't join me for it, but our radio show with James Oguski, who knows so much about, more than anybody, about what the World Health Organization is doing. Now, the top of this freedom, this freedom flyer is, it's, this is one as you give out as an introduction to the whole big story, the story of globalism. So at the top, it says, what's happening to our nations is not a mistake or unintended, it's planned. That's our first frequent flyer. That's the top of it. And as I said, you can download them. It doesn't have big ads for us. It does say at the bottom that Bregan.com is the founder and the sponsor, little, not so big type, and that AmericaOutloud.com, our wonderful platform run by Malcolm, owned by Malcolm, it says that he's a sponsor too, and part of his sponsorship is he's putting up Ginger's, a really great column, just a lovely column. Up, and there will be a button to be able to also get the flyers for free. We are not taking names. That is, we're not asking you to sign up for anything. We're not making a list for us to use in some other way. We just want to make these flyers available and get them out into the world. And at the top of the flyer, I list, I don't know, about 24 or so of, I guess you could actually pull down one of the flyers there. I don't know how it'll show up, but you can see this is a bit impromptu, folks. So there's Freedom Flyer number one, October 1. And there it is. Look at that. What's happening to our nation is not a mistake or unintended. It's planned. And I think that's enough to show folks. And the flyer, you can copy it yourself once you get one, but you can also just, you know, download one whenever you want as a PDF. Now, the flyers go beautifully with having a peaceful assembly for freedom. Because you're peaceful, but anybody's coming by, you could give them a flyer and look at this. They're going to look at this and say, what's happening to our nation is not a mistake or unintended. It's planned. Are they kidding? This must be conspiracy theory stuff, but wow, got all this list, crime, war, global warming, sustainable development goals, declining healthcare, racial conflict. That's one column and it goes down. Another column, inflation, food, fuel, gasoline shortages, economic depression. And people are going to say, really, there's somebody behind this? And then we go ahead and we describe very briefly the global predators and how the global predators are wrecking Western civilization, because if they can't get past America, if they can't wreck Western civilization in Europe as they are doing with the EU, if they can't wreck it in Canada as they're doing, if they can't finish that job, they can't work their will on us, because just America alone, or big boost from America, maybe Great Britain, maybe Australia. I mean, maybe one of these, maybe even Trudeau's paradise. Maybe people will fight back and it'll be very, very exciting. And once you got a flyer in your hand, you can do amazing things with it. You can take a flyer and you can drop it on your neighbor's stoop. Might not get you too much trouble. If you wanted to, you could put, you know, the space at the bottom, you could put your name and phone number there, but you might not want to do that. You might instead want to set up your own website and have them go there. Or, you know, you all know more about technology than I am. It's, you know, I didn't get into technology. And, well, I got in pretty early, because 40 years ago when Ginger came to live with me and marry me, that's when I started getting into technology. So but I was in my 40s then, and you know, you can figure out various ways to use it, but you could put it in the stores if they would let you, or put it up on bulletin boards. You could leave a stack in somebody's small business if they were willing to let you. You could write on it the date. You could say, okay, we're going to meet in such and such a time at such and such a place. Write that in at the bottom. And you could make an email out of it and write on the bottom anything you want. Keep it clean, keep it nice, and send it around to your friends. But the more that you actually think about having a date for people to meet, that would be the best. You could give it out at ball games. But one of the best things is that when you hand it to somebody, someone or another is going to say, oh my gosh, you know, I've been thinking that. Or I think I read about that. And you could start to chat with them and give them a few flyers to distribute. You can invite them over to meet, maybe have coffee. That's how you usually meet strangers, have coffee out somewhere first. Get to know them, decide that, hey, we could make this group together. We could have this peaceful assembly. So the two ideas we're tying together are this whole idea that Ginger had. It's such a good idea of freedom flyers. When I presented this idea on another TV show that I go on every first and third Monday, it's on Mike Lindell's platform, Lindell TV, and it's with Tamara Scott, and I do that at 1 p.m. every first and third, and sometimes for fun, I do my breaking news for Tamara. She's just fun to break news with, and I talked about this, and she got really, really enthusiastic about both ideas, and she sees it as a method for something they're talking about. She knows a lot of people who are high up in the Republican Party on the good side of the party, and she was talking about this being grassroots. That's what I want it to be. That's why we're making it free. We're not making it a centralized organization. We're not taking names, even when you come to the website. And we're making it easy to find it at the top of the website, so you don't have to go down further. We're really trying to get something spontaneous going that will combine really, really well together. So you've got the meetings to call. You've got the First Amendment meeting, the right to peaceful assembly, and then you've got the flyers if you want to give them out. I don't know how often we're going to put them out. I think the next one is going to be on peaceful assembly. So that'll give us the starting point. First, we've talked about globalists. I have in the first one. And in the second one, I think I'll probably be talking about peaceful assembly as a part of putting all this together. And set up your own groups. Work it in your own way. But get out in the streets. Take something with you to give to somebody, to talk with them. Heck, make your own flyers too. I mean, I'm not trying to have a monopoly here. This is not what we're after. You know, we are so busy, we don't have time even to organize things. But besides that, America needs a spontaneous uprising from the communities. This is absolutely what we now need. Really, really important. I hope you hear me, because you know, Western civilization rides on each of us thinking of things to do to support it. And we can begin right at home. People who don't want to write books like me and Ginger have done, or people who don't want to, you know, go and to Washington, D.C., which we don't do anymore, and lobby and talk to people and try to have hearings. People who want to just start at home, this is your big chance. Just have a peaceful assembly for freedom and have your freedom flyers. If you want to also include them or make up your own flyers, And remember, you can write on the flyers when you're going to meet and where you're going to meet. Now, I wish I could get some direct feedback from you. Send me messages. I'm really glad to be here, and I'm really glad to be just talking directly with you about all these things. There's a lot of terrible stuff going on in the world right now. And I think that maybe I didn't plan the second session, but I think I'm getting a really good idea about what I want to do in the second session. I've given him ideas about peaceful assembly and that kind of thing, and the flyers, the freedom flyers, all of that. The freedom flyers on Bregan.com. And I told you about Ginger's write-up on the freedom flyers. It's really sweet. It's a sweet write-up. It begins with a Shelley poem, amazing little poem by Shelley. And I think in the next session, I'm going to talk with you again. I'm going to do it, you know, without notes. I haven't got notes here today. What I look at is just to keep my head on straight. I keep a note that I'm talking about freedom flyers and peaceful assembly. That's all I need. I'm never going to have to draw a blank because I can always go from there. But, what I want to talk to you about now, and I've just thought this through, I want to talk to you about surviving and living under a lot of stress. How to do it. How to do it proudly. How to do it lovingly. How to do it without having a lot of conflict around you. Nothing wrong with having political conflict, folks. It's really necessary, even within our own group. I could talk about that another day. But, you know, we don't want to be taken over by people just because we were trying to be nice. And by our own group here, I mean the health freedom movement. But of course, it's much bigger. It's the liberty movement. It's freedom. This is what we're about. We're about freedom, making America great, about this show, refounding America. I'm going to talk about keeping your spirits up, get new and fresh ideas. And I think that'll be really, really interesting. One of the most important things in keeping yourself up is your knowledge of history. Another important thing is your knowledge of how humans have developed. Another important thing is your attitude towards yourself. Many great psychologists from the 19th century, the 1800s, said it's all about attitude. And to a great extent, our lives are about the attitudes we bring to it. So we can be down in the doldrums, but if something helps us change our attitude, from a Yorkie in your lap to your wife or husband or your children or the great outdoors or remembering God and wearing God's image or whatever it is that can change our attitude and brighten us up, can make a huge difference. But then we want to understand the context. We want to understand what it means to be a human being, to have purpose, to be able to work towards something important. These are the kind of ideas that I'll be talking about in just a few seconds. Stay with us. Hi, folks. Our wonderful station crew who are, by some law, I'm not sure whose law, I have to remain unnamed, just pulled up Ginger's article off of America Out Loud, and there it is, Freedom Flyers, a Paul Revere moment to save the world. Let me see if, without leaning so far forward I look ridiculous, I can read the opening, which is just below the picture of Paul Revere statue. Just below it, it begins, Oh, you'd have to go there by hitting the go to button. More. Can you do that? Oh, you can do anything. Yeah, I'm trying to do it here with my hand on the mouse. It's not getting me anywhere. Okay, here. This is a poem by Percy Bysshe Shelley, very famous. Rise like lions after slumber, in unvanquishable number. Shake your chains to the earth like dew, which in sleep had fallen on you. You are many, they are few. And so that's the opening, and you get to see what it looks like on America Out Loud, this great, great place to go. One of the things that I find very helpful in deciding whether or not I'm in a good situation that I want to be in, which is very important to really making a good go of it in life. And this is out of some books and articles I wrote many years ago, and I think they've stood up. The book is Beyond Conflict. I think I was a bit more on the progressive end then, a little bit more on the left end then, but the basic concepts are good. And that is that you can divide up what's going on between you and somebody else as either having to do with love or having to do with like bargaining, like business, where you give something, get something in return, or whether it's about being abused and coerced. In almost every relationship, you can see what's coming at you, whether it's political relationship or a personal one. Are you feeling, let's say, look at yourself first. Are you feeling love toward this person? Because that's who you want to have closest to you. Ginger and I actually try to have no meaningful relationships in particular with people who aren't really loving. We have a few very loving people in our lives, and that's what makes the world go round. And then we have people who are meaningful. And then we have a number of people we're awfully fond of that we met in the media too. We love them. They love us. And I'll give you the criteria for love. It's kind of surprise you, I think. And that is, it's joyful. It's not miserable. It's not guilty. It's not full of anxiety and shame. That's the garbage in life that comes from being oppressed and confused and not having adequate, you know, understandings when you're a child and you react with guilt, shame, and anxiety. It's not about love. If a mother loves a child or a father loves a child, the family is loving, then you're in a situation where the child's going to feel a lot of love, and that washes a lot of guilt, shame, and anxiety away. We're built to receive guilt, shame, and anxiety. I think it was built in an evolution. So when we have close relationships, we would be restrained because we can be so violent when we're hunting and gathering and protecting children from strangers. We have such potentials for violence. I think we had to have a lot of negative emotions so we wouldn't turn it on ourselves. It's one of my theories in a book of mine called Guilt, Shame, and Anxiety. Guilt, Shame, and Anxiety. So is this a loving relationship? Does it make you feel joyful? I think that whenever we love, we actually feel happy. Even at difficult times, there's a joyfulness, a spiritual happiness. I mean, you may not be grinning, but it's a spiritual uplifting. Whether we love our children, our loved ones, our fellow adults, nature, our work, our recreation. We can love so many aspects of life, but make sure it's joyful. Make sure you're, as much as you can, have a joyful job, one you love. Have a joyful marriage where you both love each other. That's how I start in my therapy practice. First thing I ask folks and try to ascertain is if they're in love. Now, many people come to me as a last resort because they've been drugged or shocked, something terrible has happened to them, or three marriage counseling chances haven't worked out. And I start out talking about love, and what we're going to do is enhance your love for each other. how you express it and drop the other stuff. We're not even going to talk much about the other stuff, all the anger and stuff. We're going to talk about how do you let that go in the moment and just look at each other and feel love toward each other as a start and communicate with love. And it's really, really key. So you want to have loving relationships with each other. That will sustain you through all kinds of things. Now, in a marriage, there's also agreements, and I would call that the sort of economic, relational side of relating. I call them the dynamics. Love is what I've been talking about. The economic dynamic I basically call liberty, that you have a liberty relationship with the other person. That is, you're honest, you don't cheat them, you don't steal from them, you don't coerce them. It's a relationship of voluntary relationships, what libertarians love to talk about, but which are very, very hard to implement outside a very small group of people, which is that, you know, people actually care enough about each other to live and let live in a broad way while they take care of each other, out of love. So a marriage can have that. One person can do the dishes and the other can do the floor. One person take care of the kids and one person can earn the money, or they can, this is all kinds of relationships now. They're infinite in the way people relate, and they don't get married at all. So many variations. But distinguish between what the agreements that are freely made are. And if you discover along the way that it's not real freedom, it's not like a free enterprise system at all, which of course on a large scale, it's not free. I can do a talk on that later. But you can create it in your own life. You may not be able to have a big company that's really be obeying principles of free enterprise because they cheat so much and coerce so much. But you can do it on your own relationship. You can have a relationship in which even when you are deeply in love and married forever, you also have kind of contractual things that you talk about. You talk about each other's freedoms and what each other can do, and you make agreements and arrangements. If those don't feel loving and they feel coerced, then that's another sign things aren't right. If you are doing it, the agreements in a relationship or at work or in your life because you're scared, it's a bad idea. So in our reform work, which is quite terrifying at times, Ginger and I try never to act out of fear. So sometimes the more scared somebody tries to make us, the more we just give it up to God and get to work. We know something important is going on if they're scaring us that much. So if you approach things in that way, that I'm going to make decisions based on love and on liberty. And in liberty, I include ethics and reason, kind of the 19th century things that changed the world, reason, ethics. And I'm looking at them as the libertarian setting up of the opportunity to love, which I think is even more important than freedom. I mean it. You can be as free as a bird and be miserable. But if you have love, you can be happy and unfreedom and without hurt and be inconvenient. But love is the key, I believe. Love of your how. I love the room here. I love talking to the audience, to you people. So that's what I call a second dynamic, and that's about liberty and using reason and bargaining and being uncoerced. And then the third thing is coercion. Most of my profession of psychiatry is about coercion. We coerce people by lying to them and telling them they have biochemical imbalances and the struggle will help. Most of that's a big lie. Or if we are frustrated enough with them and don't know how to help them, and then we can lock them up involuntarily. Or if you're a therapist, refer them to the psychiatrist for drugs. I don't believe in that. I believe if you're a therapist and you're not helping somebody, maybe you should take the drug, but don't give a roofie to your patients so they'll stay with you. No, if you're not helping your depressed patient, or if you're a patient, client, and you're not feeling helped, drugs aren't the answer. Either improving your therapy relationship, getting a new therapist, or turning to something other than therapy, religion, politics, love. Drugs are not an alternative that I accept, psychoactive substances. I know a lot about them, how people come off them. I've written books about them, but they're not good for people. So there's that triad again. I want to come back to it. There's liberty in the middle, as I envision it in my chart. And that's where people respect each other, reason with each other, do deals with each other, respect each other's rights. And then there's love, that's this joyful relationship. Now, what is particularly important about love, in addition to the joy, is that it is the only relationship that really does away with conflicts of interest. Because when I'm really loving Ginger or one of my kids or another person, I'm actually thinking about their self-interest more than my own. That's the nature of love. And that's why a parent thinks nothing of sacrificing or risking their lives for a child, because their child's self-interest is more important than their own. And I think that that love brings us to that. Love brings us to the point where we can actually care more about somebody else than ourselves, because just to see them makes us happy. And when was the last time you looked in the mirror, saw yourself, and felt happy about it? Not very often. I'm having fun, folks. I'm doing this without any notes at all. I just wanted to spontaneously talk to you about things that really matter to me that I hope can be really helpful to you. So in my column on the left side, you know, I've got love coming down, and love has beauty and creativity in it. And it has excitement in it, and the spirit is in it, and God is there, and beauty's there. And then in the middle is freedom, and freedom is the best opportunity for all those other things, but it cannot substitute for them. Libertarians sometimes forget that. You gotta have connections to people. Adam Smith said the only way you could have a free enterprise was if there was fellow feeling. And I think we have to deal with the problem that in our big corporations today, there are no fellow feeling for us. So how in the world are they going to do what's right? The globalists that we write about, COVID-19, the global predators, I mean, they don't have any fellow feeling for us. They may not even have it for each other, but there at least they have a self-interest in working with the other people. But they sure don't have fellow feeling for us. They were too far away, they're too big, they're too powerful, they can get away with too much. And again, then the third columns over on the right there is about coercion and bullying, taking advantage of people. And you want to be able to stay as free as possible of those relationships. Now, obviously, if you're holding a lifeline and somebody's calling you bad names at the end of the lifeline, you pull them up anyway. But you don't stay friends with them. You follow what I'm saying? So there are times when we feel ethically obligated to take care of people. As a doctor, as a lawyer, you may be ethically bound and you really are going to do your best to take care of somebody for ethical reasons, but if they are being emotionally coercive to you and difficult, you are not bound to go beyond your immediate obligations to them, in my book. Now, I mean, if you're a professional, that may mean helping them find another professional, but you don't have to spend a good part of your time ever with people who are not loving you and respecting you. That's the first and the second dynamics, love and respect. Respect is part of freedom. It's part of what we need to have, reason, rationality. And their love is more spirituality. And then there's coercion. I help people understand that you can actually build a life in which increasingly you have more loving people around you and less coercive ones. Very, very important principles. Now, One of the most important things in our present time is to get out of ourselves enough to have a perspective on history. We are at a point in time when we can fight for freedom. And I can pretty much guarantee you that while there are hazards in fighting for freedom, you're going to meet the most wonderful people in your whole life. That's what's happened with me and Ginger. We've been together 40 years. In the last couple, we've had the most wonderful relationships with people because there are so many wonderful people fighting for freedom. And it's probably the only time in all of our long history of doing reform work that we have met couples like us who love each other, work together effectively, have common goals. I think that's partly because so many of them are Christians. I'm Jewish, Ginger's Christian. But they're actually Christians who conduct themselves according to the best of everything that there is in the Bible about charity and love, about loving God and loving each other, which for many Christians I meet, and certainly for me, is the most important thing Jesus ever said. You know, what you want to do ultimately is love God and love each other. As God loves you, he says, as I love you. It's about love. And the companionship you'll get in meeting like-minded people is just astonishing and will give you strength and give you power and give you perspective on not feeling sorry for yourself, because we live still in one of the best times in all history to be anywhere. They could get rather worse, but up till now, since the founding of this nation, since the Bill of Rights, since we won the War of Independence and did the Constitution, we already had the Declaration of Independence, made the Bill of Rights. We have had a principle of living, constitutional government. A republic, by the way, is defined as a nation that's governed by democracy rather than by a monarch or a dictatorship. That's a republic, not governed by a dictatorship by the people, but a constitutional democracy is a step up from a republic because it has a constitution that protects the people's rights. Just so you know the words a little bit better. And really, the first meaningful large constitutional democracy was created by our constitution. So we can look back on history and say we are perhaps the last stand for freedom since we won the War of Independence. It's a much better thing to call it the War of Independence. It was not like your communist revolutions. It wasn't anything like that. It was about getting free of Great Britain and then minding our own business, taking care of ourselves. It wasn't about incorporating Great Britain or beating down Great Britain. It wasn't about setting up a kingdom. King George Washington, that's his picture behind me against the wall. He's praying on his knees next to his horse in the snow. He really did that, folks. The historians, none of whom have much understanding of the American mind, you know, the freedom mind, the responsible mind, they couldn't believe George did that. But it turned out there were eyewitnesses. He did that. Got down his knees in the cold of winter, and he prayed. I think it's really helpful to try to feel some understanding of what God may want for you. And if you don't have that in you, and I didn't much of my life, then look for what gifts do you have? Because that's a kind of a direction about what you might be doing, what might be the great and good thing for you to do. I mean, if you're great at painting nature and you're painting houses, you might think really hard about how you can get to spend more time painting nature. So think about what you love to do. But in the context now of history, remember that we're blessed. No other nation has ever had such a long period of freedom. We inspired many other nations' relative degrees of freedom. And of course, not freedom for the slaves, but our principles led to the freedom, freeing of the slaves. There's no chance it was going to go any other way. So folks, love with all your hearts. Try to make really reasonable, respectable agreements with the people you work with and love. Don't accept coercion, not from, do everything to stop it from your government, from people around you, from family members, and try to build responsible relationships in which you get to develop your own individual sense of how you want to be in the world. You know, the globalists who are attacking us, they just hate our constitution because it protects us. They hate the concepts of individualism because people who believe in individualism are not going to join the global collective. It's all about a collectivism. So thanks for bearing with me and listening to such a serious conversation. And God bless you.